Okay, I'd like to convene and call the planning commission meeting of September 29th, 2021. Commissioner Pease, can you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes, thank you. If everyone can please rise and take the flag on your left. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Recording secretary, can we have roll call, please?
Yes. Pease?
Present.
Singh?
Present.
Darnell?
Present.
Bernstein?
Present.
Masterson?
Present.
Thank you.
Moving on to the approval of the minutes. Do we have any changes or comments on those? Do we have a motion?
I'll move that we approve the minutes of September 15th as they are written.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Can we please take a vote, recording secretary?
Pease?
I'm so used to that. Yes.
Singh?
Yes.
Darnell?
Yes.
Bernstein?
Yes.
Masterson?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Moving down to the next item. Public comments. This is the period for anyone in the public wishing to speak on an item that's not on the agenda under the public hearings tonight. There will be a 5-minute time limit on that. Anyone from the public wish to address the Planning Commission on any other item that's not on the agenda? No? Okay, with that, we'll move on. Waive reading in full of all the resolutions on the agenda.
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Recording secretary, can we please take a vote?
Pease?
Yes.
Singh?
Yes.
Darnell?
Yes.
Bernstein?
Yes.
Masterson?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Moving on to public hearings. Item number 2, public hearing regarding conditional use permit 2020-08 Sanders. Mr. Brantley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The applicant has provided a request for a continuance of this matter late this afternoon as to address some issues that came up with the application that we were unaware of at the time of the staff report. Staff would recommend that you open the public hearing since this was a noticed public hearing. Take any public testimony tonight that anyone may have, and then continue this matter to the requested date of December 8th, 2021, regular Planning Commission meeting. We will resolve the issues that came up with the applicant in the interim. If there are any changes to the application that warrant additional changes to the project description, we will renotice the item. If there are not, then there is no legal requirement to renotice it, but just to let the public know if there are changes, we will renotice the item accordingly. So with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, with that then, we'll open it up to the public hearing. If anybody would like to come up and speak on this item on the agenda, please come up and state your name. Okay, with that, I'll close the public hearing and bring it back. Do we have a motion to continue this item?
Mr. Chair, I'll move that we continue item 2020-08 to a date certain of December 8th, 2021.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Recording secretary, can we please take roll?
Pease?
Yes.
Singh?
Yes.
Masterson?
Yes.
Darnell?
Yes.
Bernstein?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Moving on to item number 3, public hearing regarding conditional use permit 2021-33. Sorry if I mispronounced that, but Papa? Sorry, thank you. Mr. Brown.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mason Warren will be giving the staff report on this item.
Thank you, Director Brantley. Members of the Commission, this item is a conditional use permit request to construct a two-story addition to an existing two-story attached single-family home located at the property addressed as 3640 Blue Gum Drive in Yorba Linda. Staff has reviewed the proposed addition for compliance with the development standards as well as privacy and aesthetic impacts. The proposed addition does meet the required setbacks and development standards for the zone, and staff believes that the proposed addition does not result in any additional privacy or view impacts to the surrounding properties. It's a somewhat unique design proposed. It's just a bedroom addition with a few windows on each side. The proposed addition would be cantilevered over the deck along the side of the property and also serve as kind of like a patio cover area above the entrance. Staff would also like to note there is an error in the staff report related to the size of the existing home. Existing home is approximately 1,742 square feet rather than 2,154 square feet, and the proposed addition is approximately 299 square feet. Staff will make that correction in the final resolution. With that, staff recommends that the Planning Commission adopt the attached resolution approving conditional use permit 2021-33 POPA with the attached conditions, and I can take any questions.
Do any of the commissioners have any questions for staff? Okay, is the applicant here? Would you like to come up and speak on the project? Say anything? Thank you. Please please state your name for the record.
There are five of us, and we have our twin daughters who currently don't have a design space to study, so we would like to make a bigger room for them because I'm tired of having them in my bedroom and stepping on the toys and breaking my toes all over the place. So I just want to move them in their own space. So thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate it. And I don't know why I'm nervous, because I'm a teacher.
One question.
Sure.
Have you read all the conditions of approval that the staff provided and are in agreement with all those?
That would be my husband's territory, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody have any questions for the...
No.
Nope. Please sit down.
Thanks so much.
With that, would anyone from the public wish to speak on this item? Nope. Recording Secretary, do we receive any correspondence on this?
No, we did not.
Okay. I'll bring it back to the commission. Do we have a motion on this item?
Mr. Chair, I just have one quick question. Because this isn't, it's more for staff, because this is an attached property, is there any, and this is purely for my own curiosity, are there any special, like, standards for adding on to an attached property as opposed to just a single family? I'm just curious.
Actually, there are.
Okay.
We do have a city council policy that requires basically the neighbor next door to concur with an addition when the addition touches the common wall. But since this particular addition is on the other side of the home, it wouldn't be triggered by this particular addition.
Got it. Okay, thank you. That was my only question.
Thank you. Do we have a motion on this item?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Commissioner Pease.
I move that the Planning Commission adopt the attached resolution approving conditional use permit 2021-33 POPA.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Recording Secretary, can you please take a vote?
Pease?
Yes.
Singh?
Yes.
Darnell?
Yes.
Bernstein?
Yes.
Masterson?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
And the Planning Commission's decision is final and must appeal to the City Council within 15 days. Congratulations.
Oh, there are screens just went back. Good, perfect.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're off. But
another run.
Okay, moving on to public hearing item number four, public hearing regarding conditional use permit 2021-40, Mr. Brantley.
Yes, Mr. Raymer will be giving the staff report on this item.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Members of the Planning Commission.
I have nothing new to add to staff report. The application before you is a conditional use permit for a 380-square-foot second-story addition plus deck on existing two-story residence on J&J Lane. This is just an aerial photograph of the property. The proposed addition is along the rear elevation, the center of the property. Given its location, staff does not anticipate any privacy impacts and therefore is supportive of the request and asks the commission to adopt the attached resolution of approval.
Does anybody have any questions for staff? No. Is the applicant here? Would you like to come up and speak on, have anything to say to the commission on the item?
You don't have to. You don't want.
Short straw.
Right. Real brave.
We are adding 3 bedrooms, and we have 4 kids, and we want to have...
Oh, excuse me. Can you please state your name for the record?
Sorry. My name is Norma Quintanilla, and we are adding 3 bedrooms. We have 4 kids, and we're trying to update and remodel the house to have it to our needs. Bigger kitchen, bigger, more organized spaces. And I appreciate your time and whatever decision you guys decide.
One question. Have you reviewed all the conditions of approval?
I read them, and the person that is helping us with all the projects, the architect, read us as well. So
so you're in agreement with them?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions for the applicant?
No.
Nope. You can be seated. Thank you.
Thank you.
With that... anybody from the audience wish to come up and speak on this agenda item? No. Recording secretary, did we receive any correspondence on this item?
No, we did not.
Thank you. With that, we'll close the public record, bring it back. Anybody have any questions for staff or a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would move that the Planning Commission adopt the attached resolution approving CUP 2021-40 Quintanilla with conditions.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Recording secretary?
Pease?
Yes.
Singh?
Yes.
Darnell?
Yes.
Bernstein?
Yes.
Masterson?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
And this decision of the Planning Commission is final unless appealed to the City Council within 15 days as well. Congratulations.
Okay, moving on to public hearing number 5, public hearing regarding time extension for conditional use permit 2019-10, conditional use permit 2019-40, design review 2018-02, and variance 2019-02. Mr. Brown.
Now, thank you, Mr. Chair. This item was initially reviewed and approved by the Planning Commission back in August of 2019. This is for the property in the Town Center area, right at the Town Center Drive entrance off of Lakeview. The applicant received approval for the commercial building, and shortly following your approval, we all experienced COVID-19. Slowed things down for most projects. We actually came back to you with a request for a one-year time extension in October of 2020, and you approved that one-year time extension. The applicant is now requesting an additional time extension, and my understanding from Nate, who is the project manager who spoke with Ms. Ciasone, who I see in the audience tonight, she's getting real close to obtaining financing and moving forward with the project, but would like to request an additional one-year time extension. Staff would note that we did receive some correspondence from neighboring property, Lakeview Professional Plaza, I believe it's called. It's across Lakeview Avenue from the property. They were expressing some concerns about potential in the future after the project is developed for potential patrons to use their property for overflow parking purposes, and even perhaps
you know, late in the evening crossing Lakeview, perhaps after having an alcoholic beverage at one of the restaurants at the commercial property, perhaps raising some safety concerns. Staff doesn't really believe that those are concerns at this time, certainly. The project did buy into the city's parking in lieu program, and there are an abundance of parking stalls available in the city's public parking structure, which is proximal to the property. So we don't really think that there is an imminent demand for parking off-site. But should that occur, we do have other avenues for addressing those issues, as well as the potential public safety issues related to patrons and potential, you know, intoxicated patrons crossing the street. So staff does not share the concerns, but we did forward this letter to you for your review and make note of it for the record. And with that, I would just point to staff's recommendation that you adopt a resolution affording another one-year time extension to the CSOs for this project. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Does anybody have questions for staff?
I don't know if it's a question, just a point of clarification. Mr. City Attorney, can you talk about what – I think there just might – as I read this letter, I got the vibe that there's maybe some confusion about what the parking in lieu fee program does, right? It's not necessarily just – like we do have – in relation to the parking structure and how does that work, it's not as if, you know, they're paying a fee to not have the parking. It's in – it's just, like, otherwise located. So I was wondering if you could give us an overview of that for the record.
Yeah, correct. So, well, as you know, when we developed the town center, there was the concern about parking issues. So the city wanted to make sure there was sufficient parking to help assist and have parking to have the thriving retail and restaurant area in the middle of the city that we've been trying to get for the past 50 years. Therefore, we put the parking structure in the middle of the town center, and we, pursuant to terms in the specific plan, constructed a parking in lieu fee program. So whereas people usually have to have parking on site of their property for certain projects, they can pay, I think it's 5,000 plus CPI from around, which is a reduced rate, but a rate which facilitates people buying into the program to satisfy their parking needs. That's generally available to anybody in the town center and on Main Street, and it could be even a little broader, I think. I can't remember. But that's how we dealt with parking in the town center, and frankly, it's worked pretty well. And there are still sufficient spaces in the parking structure for people to park when they need to. We'll find out when the new James Bond movie comes out. That'll be a test for me. That parking is what this project is part of. And so they have to meet parking requirements. This is how they're meeting them. This is what's required in the law. And it shouldn't – I saw that letter as well. It doesn't really make that much sense to me from either a legal or a practical standpoint. I mean, it's a very different concern for the city of Yorba Linda, because as a great Quaker city, you know, for our first 50 years, we didn't have any bars in the town. And now we have all these intoxicated people walking around, according to Mr. Brantley. So I do not think it is a valid concern.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know if I answered your question, though.
You did.
Okay.
Thank you.
One question I have for staff is on the time extensions, is there a – since we already granted one – and potentially another one tonight, how many more potential, if things come up, time extensions? Is there a cap? Or what's
there is not, Mr. Chair. It really is up to the commission. It's within your discretion to grant additional time extensions. So.
Okay. Thank you.
I have one question and a comment. Just want to make sure, no matter what you feel about this letter that we received, we're not discussing the merits of the project. That's been decided, right? We're discussing an extension.
Good point.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to make sure I was tracking. Yeah, I'll hold for there.
Okay. With that, I'll open the Mr. Pease, please.
No, go ahead. No, I'll reserve.
Okay. With that, then I'll open the public hearing. Is the applicant here? Could you please come up?
Hi, can you please state your name for the record?
Yes, sir. My name is Josefina. They call me Jessie. Jessie Siosan, 4901 Lakeview Avenue. And I'm here to ask for additional 1 year to complete this project. It's because of the COVID and also a few little things that Nate helped me, and it's been resolved. Thank you.
Anybody have any questions for the applicant?
Yes, please. Hi, Mr. Houston. I know your attorney had reached out to staff to get a copy of the notice of withdrawal of Liz Pendens. I sent that. Did you get that?
Yes, sir. That's the thing that hold up, too.
Okay.
And my attorney wrote in March, and I didn't have any answer for quite a while. Finally, in August, I got the release of the Liz Pendens.
So you got that.
Filed. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
No, absolutely. It's the county recorder's office is.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
I just have a question based on where we're at today. When do you think you would be, your estimated kind of schedule timeline to actually start construction on this project?
If you ask me, I really want to construct it. It's just because, I have an approval from, I have two options to get a loan or sell two properties. And so my option now is to get a loan, but that came and I have to withdraw it, so I have to reapply.
Okay.
But I think it depends on my group too, by my team, to submit those working drawings. So I'm going through a process right now. We attempted to submit and for them to review, so we're going to have to go to the fire department and then file, and hopefully we can, I hope to... break ground by after the rain, which is right, 6 months, maybe around April.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. You can sit down now.
Thank you.
We're good. Thank you. Anybody else from the public wish to speak on this item? Okay, thank you. Recording Secretary, did we receive any correspondence on this?
Just the one mentioned by David Bradley. Yes. From Mr. Robert Bunyan.
Okay. With that, I'll close the public hearing, bring it back. Do we have a motion or comments? Yes, Mr.
A question and then a comment. My question just went out of my head. Oh, what is it that satisfies the beginning of what triggers the satisfaction of the extension? They need to put what has to come in. You don't break ground. It's what?
I think, Commissioner Bernstein, what you're referring to is
what the
vesting requirement is in California for a land use approval. It's actually the issuance of the building permit and then diligent pursuit of construction.
So it's the issuance for triggers it at the beginning, the building permit. Thank you for untangling my question. I thought a lot about this. I mean, we're seeing construction. We're seeing Clyde's going up. Hopefully Bricks is moving forward. And, of course, we all want to see the town center built out, excited about that, and hopefully the corner lot. I guess I'm not inclined to wait another year. Is there a potential to grant a partial extension, say 6 months, say 4 months? Is that an option?
It is at the discretion of the commission.
Okay. I guess I would throw out there that I would support a 6-month extension, but not a year extension.
Thank you. Do we have any other comments? Commissioner Pease.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I remember the hearing where we first considered this project in 2019, and I was really excited for the project. I think the design is unique, and I think it's going to be a focal point there on Lakeview that will really bring people into the center. I am looking forward to the completion. I am disappointed it has not started yet, but it sounds like things are in place, and I am supportive of the extension. I don't feel like it's appropriate to arbitrarily limit it to 6 months. I think, we can do a year. We did a year the last time. I don't think that 6 months or 6 months from that 6 months is really going to make a hill of difference. And I think we should give the applicant, afford the applicant the opportunity to go forward and complete this project. I really think it's going to be complementary, and I think there's going to be a great synergy within the center with this addition. So I would not be amenable to only a six-month extension. I will support the full year.
Is that a motion?
That is a motion.
Second.
Do we have a second?
Yeah, I second.
Thank you. Okay, recording secretary, take roll.
Keith?
Yes.
Singh?
Yes.
Masterson?
Yes.
Darnell?
Yes.
Bernstein?
No.
Motion carries 4-1 with Bernstein dissenting.
And the Planning Commission's decision is final unless appealed to the City Council within 15 days. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on, new business, design review 2021-10, Denny's Restaurant.
Mr. Mason Warren will be giving the staff report on this item, Mr. Chair.
Sorry, just 1 second. Do we want to give our audience members to let them know that it's you don't have to stay once your item is done?
No, they want to hear us.
We love the audience, but I'm sure some of you haven't had dinner. We won't think you're rude if you want to leave. Okay.
See, this is the place to be tonight.
Okay. I felt bad. I wanted to make you know.
Such a conscientious commissioner.
Sorry.
We're going to dine al fresco.
This item before the Planning Commission tonight is a design review request to modify the exterior of the existing Denny's restaurant in Savoy Ranch. It's an existing freestanding building that was approved by design review and conditional use permit back in 1990 by the Planning Commission. You can see here in this image the existing design that was approved at that time. The applicant and operator of Denny's is proposing to expand the restaurant with an outdoor dining area on the south elevation that would be kind of the left side of this image here. And then also exemplified here on this site plan, be a 714 square foot outdoor dining patio covered with a sheet metal patio cover and would accommodate some additional dining space. Staff did reach out to the applicant. We don't have a formal business operations letter, but we did speak with the restaurant operator. They do not intend to modify the operations of Denny's whatsoever. This is just an additional outdoor dining space, and they don't intend to make any changes to their alcohol use either. They don't intend to serve alcohol out on the patio. Staff believes that the proposed design is attractive and consistent with the existing architecture of the building. It would feature a sheet metal patio cover and a split face block enclosure with a glass enclosure atop the split face block. Again, staff believes it's consistent with the design of the existing building. There's one slight modification to the design that was brought up and proposed by the restaurant operator after the report went out to the Planning Commission. They're proposing to modify the color of the patio cover roof itself from Denny's red to Denny's yellow to match the color of the Denny's logo on the tower there. So with that, staff recommends that the Planning Commission approve the design review application by minute motion with the attached conditions, and I'm here to answer any questions.
Anybody have questions for staff? Yes.
It's just a curiosity question. The boundaries of the property on your first slide, are those really the boundaries of the property?
Yep.
They include the roadway and everything?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. It's a private
Interesting.
Road. Yeah, that's a private road.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Actually, most people own to the middle of the street in front of your house, and the city just has an easement for right-of-way. People are technically the property owners, usually, of the road in front of their street.
Is the applicant here?
Does not look like the applicant's here.
No. Has the applicant reviewed the conditions of approval and is in agreement with those?
The applicant has not responded to staff formally on the conditions of approval.
Okay. Thank you. With that, I'll open up to the public hearing. Anybody wishing to speak on this item?
He should.
Okay. Any recording or any correspondence received?
No, no, we didn't receive.
Okay, with that, I'll close the public hearing and bring it back. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I will move that the Planning Commission approve Design Review 2021-10 Denny's by minute motion with the attached conditions.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Recording Secretary?
Steve?
I vote yes.
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 And the Planning Commission's decision is final unless appealed to the City Council within 15 days.
Moving on, new business item number 7, initiation of zoning code amendment to the City of Yorba zoning code. Mr. Brantley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is in reference to SB 9, which was signed by the governor last week. SB 9 is one of several housing-related bills that have been trending in Sacramento over the last year or so. What SB 9 does in just its most essential parts is allows a single-family lot to be subdivided into two lots with no discretion by local governments. We have to allow them by right. Secondly, the law allows for up to a duplex to be built on each of the lots. So essentially you're taking a single family lot, which may have one home on it, and you're dividing it into two lots, each of which would allow up to two units. So a total of four units from one unit. This is a game changer, as I'm sure you can tell. There's a lot of chatter about it. There are a lot of people who support it and a lot of people who are extremely opposed to it. Local governments are afforded some ability to regulate these on objective basis, but the essential allowance is not something that we have any regulatory authority over. So to the extent we can create some objective standards that would allow these new types of developments to occur in the city in the most sensitive way, in a way that can preserve to the extent feasible the look and feel of neighborhoods in the city, the single-family neighborhoods. We would like to start studying that and bring back a code amendment to the Planning Commission later. The law goes into effect, I believe, January 2nd of this next year. So we're going to work on this over the next several months. And the first step, as you know, in doing an amendment to the code is to initiate a code amendment, make sure that the Planning Commission and or Council are inclined to consider amendments to the code. Staff would presume that the Planning Commission would support us looking into potential changes to the code. So we've brought this request to initiate a code amendment to you this evening related to SB 9, the provisions of SB 9, and we would ask that you adopt the resolution initiating the code amendment. Happy to answer any questions.
Anybody have questions for staff?
I just have one that came to me while I was looking at this earlier today. Does a lot split, because I know there's the requirement that the initial owner remain on, correct me if I'm wrong, Todd, right, remain on site as a resident in one of the units for 3 years. Because there isn't necessarily a change in ownership, does a subdividing of the lot trigger a property tax reassessment based on the new? Because, I mean, if we're going to do this, we might as well at least get the extra revenue off of the additional units, correct? Guessing the answer is no.
The answer is probably yes.
Okay.
And that's one of the more cynical pro law changes. Come on now, I'm being serious.
Great choice of words.
People are arguing that. Cities, you should be in favor of losing your ability to control residential areas because you're going to get more money.
So we will get an additional uptick in property tax.
Theoretically.
Okay.
You know, and there's, you know, just so, I mean, I know you guys all know this. I actually did a memo on some of this. David, did you forward it to them on SB9?
I believe that Nate did, yes.
Okay, you get some of this? No? Okay, I'll forward it. I'll give it to Arlene. And
okay.
Then I'm sitting in Villa Park last night where I'm city attorney, and Governor Gavin signed 15 more bills that impact housing, some of which I haven't even read yet.
I did forward something to you today on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's coming hard and fast, right? Give it to them hard and fast.
And again, this is just initiating the zone change. You're going to come back to us with recommendations in the future.
Right, because SB 9 specifically says we have the ability to have a local ordinance.
Okay.
You know, and so obviously we have to follow the state law. They have the police power to govern such things within the state of California. But we, you know, may find areas, like David mentioned, that we can, you know, retain some control or smooth out the rough edges. So that's
okay.
The point.
That's my only question.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
If I may. Mr. City Attorney, the process on a zoning amendment, just to make sure I remember it correctly, we initiate it, Planning Commission initiates it, goes to staff, comes back to the Planning Commission, and then it goes to the City Council for incorporation. Is that correct?
Correct.
So the City Council is the ultimate arbiter.
Yeah, sadly, the Planning Commission cannot pass laws, right? You can only recommend laws. I know.
I know.
So you recommend it. City Council approves it.
Got it.
If City Council makes any substantial modifications, it actually has to come back to you to sign off on that. Then it goes back to them, and then it gets approved.
Thank you.
Right. So, and if it's an ordinance, usually it goes into effect 30 days after the second reading of an ordinance. All ordinances have to go twice to the City Council.
Thank you.
You know, there's one interesting part in SB 10 that theoretically overturns local land use controls adopted via initiative, which would obviously be Measure B, in certain circumstances, and there's been a lawsuit filed against that. It's actually an interesting legal question because the initiative power is in the state constitution.
Right.
And the legislature is now just making laws saying our laws overcome the initiative power.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that can't be right. You know, everything I remember from Scholastic Rock is, right, the Constitution's up here, the legislature's down here, and you got to follow that. So there's going to be a lot of litigation about that. And it's actually brought by the AIDS Foundation in L.A. because they get a lot of state laws passed, you know, for various grants and funding through the initiative process. So they don't want anything messing with the initiative process.
Yeah, that's their turn.
So, yeah. It's interesting.
That's
actually. 9 and 10 are, yeah, Anthony. Yeah.
9 is Atkins.
9 is Atkins, 10 is Wiener?
Yeah.
Okay. That's right, 9 is Atkins, because she wrote a letter after the fact saying that SB 9 doesn't impact CCNRs. Because you remember ADUs, or the ADU state law overcame local CCNRs and HOAs. She wrote a letter after the fact saying, my law doesn't do that.
Yeah, but isn't that a little, I mean, is that really going to hold any weight in a court of law, Todd?
I hope so, because, you know, a lot of our city is covered by HOAs.
No, I know that, but when I dealt with legislation, it was like, yeah, the legislator can say whatever they want, but you have to go based on the wording of the legislation as well as the legislative history.
Correct. So this would be legislative history. She put it into the legislative record. You can do that post-haste. The general rule is to a court, if the law is clear, you apply the law. If it's not clear, you look at other sources of information.
Yeah.
So this would fall into that subcategory B.
All right. Okay.
So
just a question here. I know your Belinda has a lot of, you know, mostly the lots are over an acre. How does it affect the existing single-family residences? I mean, if they want to add, or would it be a split of the lot first if you want to add a second residence? Or how does it affect SB9?
Yeah, well, it allows a lot split of certain, you know, you can't.
64, yeah.
Yeah, 64 is the ratio, and there's a certain limit. You can't, you have to allow them. I think it's 800 square feet, if I remember right, of a unit. So, yeah, if you're going to split your lot right through the middle of your house, right, that may take some good architecture, you know, to tweak that. Or it's a tear down, right? I mean, the fear is big corporations are going to come into town, buy big lots in cities like Yorba Linda, Villa Park, boom, put up four homes. Changes the nature of a neighborhood immediately, right? So, yeah.
Okay.
So that's the fear. Depending on, I mean, everybody has different perspectives. Mm-hmm. I mean, the argument is it increases accessibility to housing.
Yeah.
I mean.
I thought that was the whole purpose behind RENA.
Sort of. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Probably not. But that's the theory.
Yeah.
Cynical thing you were talking about.
Yeah, let's talk about this being cynical here.
I just remembered I'm being recorded, so I'm.
Yeah.
The children.
The children, yeah. The sensitive ears.
Okay, so with.
I have one last question.
Oh, yes.
Just because I want to make sure I'm understanding it. Since this is law, there's really nothing we have to do unless we want to have input to. I mean, we're adopting this so that we can have input and shape locally. That's why we're adopting this.
So under our code, there's two ways to start a zoning code amendment. A property owner can start it or the city can start it.
And that's what we're doing.
So that's what we're doing. And then it's going to come back to you because you as the Planning Commission are the ones who have to recommend what we're doing to the City Council before they act.
Thanks.
So we want it to, we're doing it now because we want it to be all flushed out by the date mm-hmm. that this goes into effect on January 2nd.
As close as we can.
Okay.
Okay, with that, I will open it up to the public hearing. Does anyone out there wish to speak on this item?
You like it now.
Please state your name for the record.
That's why she stayed.
Come on.
Worried about schools, parking. Mm-hmm. I mean, we on Blue Gum Drive, we already have neighbors who have a small house and they have four cars. And our neighbor has a humongous truck parked there, another SUV, two on his driveway, and he could potentially split his lot because he has a big lot and build another house. But my worry is, like, where are we going to park? Also, we have the schools, and we don't have Fairmont. It's been built since 1972, Fairmont Elementary School, and I would like to see that one rebuild and have better conditions for our children, not those bungalows, I'm sorry. But I've seen other schools built in Anaheim, and they're so amazing and state-of-the-art and a lot of light for our kids to help with their development. So this, if we're going to do this, we're going to have some guidelines in place to take parking into consideration and schools, and that's
so,
my concern.
So the state hamstrings us, rightfully or wrongfully. They're the state. They're smarter than us. as to what we can require and what we can't require. So in this case, and David made, for parking, we're only allowed to require one additional parking space per unit built, I think, right?
So yes.
So they say, because that's a rational concern, right? You got to make sure there's enough parking. You need to make sure there's enough sewer service, right? Water service, the fundamentals.
Right.
And a lot of cities are planned a certain way with a certain amount of sewer pressure, water, and all that good stuff. Well, water pressure. And this changes that, and the state...
An internet.
And, well, I've heard of this internet thing. So they limit, like David was saying, our discretion, because they want to control cities as to what we can do to ameliorate those exact type of concerns. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, there's concern on behalf of cities and people that represent cities. Is this? I mean, it's a battle of philosophies as to who should control those things.
Mm-hmm. I would just add, Ms. Popa, that your city council has gone on record opposing SB 9 and SB 10
thank you.
Before they, like a year ago, and often they would express their concerns about it. Unfortunately, it's the prerogative of the state, as Mr. Litvin explained, and I will use Councilmember Jean Hernandez's words here. Elections have consequences, and, you know, anyone who's dissatisfied with what's happening should really kind of remember that adage and vote your conscience next time. And
can this be overturned? Should we have another governor?
It isn't something that could be easily overturned, but as Mr. Litvin noted, there was a lawsuit filed against the SB 10, which is separate from SB 9. For certain reasons. We'll see, you know, what the courts think about that. Totally different issues, I think, of concern in that particular lawsuit. But could a party bring a cause of action on SB 9? I believe so, Mr. Litvin. It hasn't happened yet, but we'll see what happens. At this point, it's the law. It's been signed by the governor.
David, though, could you,
you.
correct me if I'm wrong, but developers, so if what Todd was saying were to come into fruition and a developer came in and started by it, developers do have to pay in lieu fees for schools, correct? So when you build as a condition of building, there is money conceivably that goes to schools.
Correct.
As a part of construction.
And I don't know if there's a carve-out for those fees. There are certain carve-outs in SB 9.
Okay.
Like, for instance, you do not have to – the cities cannot require dedication and improvement like we normally do with subdivisions.
Okay.
For SB 9-related lot splits.
Okay.
I don't believe there's a carve-out for school fees.
I don't think so.
So you would potentially reap school fees off of fees
so.
As well.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one of the things that you'd be looking at as you go through this and
yes.
deep dive.
Yes. This was just passed, just signed last week by Gavin Newsom, and we're still kind of digesting it. So.
Thank you.
So what I was talking about before, though, the initiative power, I love everybody, I'm apolitical, but there are efforts, I know, to put a state ballot initiative on the ballot to overturn a lot of this.
Oh. No. Bring it on.
So that would be like all those props that we have to vote on all the time,
it would
right?
be a proposition. Yeah.
Yep. So there are mechanisms in California because there's direct government.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I just provide information.
All right.
Right
down the middle, right?
Did we receive any correspondence on this matter? Okay. With that, I'll close the public hearing on that, bring it back to the commission. Do we have a motion to on this item?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I move that the Planning Commission adopt attached resolution initiating a zoning ordinance amendment pertaining to compliance with SB 9.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Recording Secretary, can we please take a vote?
Keys?
Yes.
Singh?
Yes.
Sarnell?
Yes.
Bernstein?
Yes.
Masterson?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Moving on, old business. I do not have anything, Mr. Brantley?
Nope.
Director's report.
Yes. Actually, this is kind of old business. Your approval of the Zhang matter at your meeting a couple times ago. It was off of Via del Caballo, was appealed. You may recall.
ADU.
No, it was a front yard wall fence, 6 feet high, in the one of the neighbors.
Wanted the 9-foot fence?
No, this is a 6-foot wall fence at Via del Caballo and Palm. It was appealed by Mr. Rosenthal, a neighbor. It went to the city council just last week. The city council did uphold the planning commission's decision.
Okay.
And oddly, the appellant spoke after staff's presentation and sort of asked whether or not Exhibit A, which is the conditions of approval, were part of what the council would act on if they were to approve or uphold the planning commission's decision. And we said yes, and he said, oh, well, I'm okay then. So it was kind of weird. I think it caught Mr. Litvin off guard as well as the mayor, and they're sort of like, well, it sounds like you're almost withdrawing your appeal. And he kind of said, yeah, essentially. And so anyways, it was approved, upheld, but just kind of an interesting one. I did forward the press release on the additional housing bills that were signed by Governor Newsom. And the other request, we have not a lot of items, if any, teed up for the October 13th meeting, and we are suggesting that you cancel that October 13th meeting and adjourn the meeting this evening to the 27th of October. And that is all I have.
Okay, moving on, commissioner comments?
Question. Bricks on Main looks like it stopped. Is it internal and we just can't see it?
No, they have not gotten their building plans approved yet. I had a meeting with them yesterday. They are looking at ways to deal with the penetration to the wall on the south side of the building. And the initial way that they were going to do it, which is very complicated, proved to be not something that they could even get a contractor to undertake because of the liability. So there's a different way that they can do it. And so we had a meeting with them to talk through that with the building official. They're going to redo their plans and resubmit, and it shouldn't be too much longer. They're going full speed ahead.
Great.
Good.
So, yeah.
That's going to be a great focal point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On Main Street.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pretty excited about
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anybody else?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to note for the record that all three of my children went through Adventure Playground, and on Tuesday, October 5th, they're having a dedication, and I encourage all the planning commissioners to come. It's a great facility. My boys just loved it, and I'm happy to see it open up again.
I did it.
5 o'clock.
When yeah. I was a kid, Adventure Playground. It was fun.
No way.
Let's yeah. 5 o'clock on Tuesday, night of the council
fifth.
Meeting.
Yeah.
The 5th.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
My daughter did it during COVID.
Yeah.
It's
like half day.
Oh, that was just awesome. I'm building the forts and all the slides. And
may I interject something, though, Chairman? I do not recommend, though, if you are a 275-pound attorney on a good day, walking on the top of that fort because
oh, yeah.
maybe at one point in time you fell through and had to catch yourself by your arms to avert sudden death.
What about the mudslide? Did you do that?
The mudslide is a whole different issue. That was Orange County Health. We resolved that. It's actually a true story from the late 90s. So, yeah, just be careful. But that, I'm sure, won't happen anymore.
I thought all those structures were approved by the building department here in the city.
Right.
Now who's being, what was that before? Cynical?
Okay. I was being facetious. There's a difference.
I have two comments. One, is it possible to get all, like, I'm sure at your law firm you have legal summaries on all these housing initiatives that have been passed? Is it possible to get summaries of all those?
Yeah, that's what David and I were just talking about. I did one for 9, 10, couple others.
Sure. We actually are waiting for something from the League of Cities as well on this, and
okay.
I talked about that with Nate this afternoon. Generally, the League will do a legislative update and send out a brief summary of each of these.
Okay.
We're going to be on the lookout for that and intended to pass that on to you guys as well.
Okay.
The governor has until the 10th to sign or veto everything, so you really won't know the lay of the land from this legislative cycle until after the 10th.
Okay.
That's a good point.
But we do them as well, and I can forward them to you. I mean,
yeah.
David gets so many different – I mean, you get a lot of summaries. So.
And then one other comment is that got brought up tonight is parking issues. I've actually had a couple friends that actually have had parking issues in their communities with people parking on the streets and never moving the cars. So that is something I would say we should take a look at and really focus on the future. So I know those parking issues are starting to happen in some of the subdivisions here in the city. So that's it for me on that.
One more thing, actually. Just so the commission knows, I know some of you were on the commission when we went on the first go-around. The Esperanza Hills project,
mm-hmm.
which is next to the Cielo Vista project north of Stonehaven.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So the city council, well, not the city, city staff about a year ago denied their request to put a road through that slope on Stonehaven
mm-hmm.
because city's contention was it was beyond the city's, the property owner's easement rights because they wanted to grade the entire roadway. That is in litigation now. The trial date is December 13th. So we will get a court order on that issue at that point in time as to how wide their road can be. I tell you that. I mean, that's all public record. But just if you're approached by people, since it is in litigation, you know, a little bit of discretion, maybe no discussion would be helpful because you don't know who's really behind the scenes asking questions. So for what it's worth.
Okay. Moving on, correspondence received. We have one item.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
For the record, I didn't note at the very beginning of the meeting regarding the Sanders matter whether
I noted that we did receive correspondence from two individuals. We did forward those to you. I will make mention of that again when we bring it back to you for the public hearing in December.
Did we ever, under the one person wanted to be, he wanted it to be confidential?
We're good.
Okay. We're all good. Okay. With that then, we'll adjourn to the next Planning Commission meeting, which is October 27th, 2021. Thank you.
Perfect. You're wrestling?
I said individual.